Let me ask you this. What is, I mean, there's been a lot of talk. There was a lot of talk yesterday, the off day, obviously, about Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron dominating Jonathan Toews and dominating the Blackhawks in the faceoff circle. That aside, Chris, what do the Blackhawks have to do early tonight to reestablish themselves in this series?
Well, I mean, certainly they need a much better effort than they had here in Game 3. And I think that that starts a lot with Joel Quenneville, the Blackhawks coach. You know, for my money, I don't think he did near enough in that game in terms of making adjustments, shifting around his lines, trying to create a little bit of spark. And, you know, the only team that's had any success against the Bruins, of course, is the Maple Leafs. And having watched that series closely, you know, it was pretty remarkable to see, you know, the great lengths that Randy Carlyle went to at times during that series to try to get Phil Kessel free of Zdeno Chara. And I think, you know, Joel Quenneville should try to do something similar with his top players, because he essentially wasted Toews the other night by playing him with two fourth-line wingers. Yet, you know, Patrick Sharp and Patrick Kane, you know, in the time they got away from Zdeno Chara, just weren't able to do anything. And if the Blackhawks don't have their top guys going, they're not going to get very far in this series.
Yeah, I know. You know, Chris, the guys in Hockey Central yesterday made a couple of points. The first, just the way Marion hosted the whole in and out of the lineup was handled. And, you know, the guy being replaced by a guy who didn't take the skate. They talked about the same thing you did, Joel Quenneville. It's almost like he can't see the forest for the trees. He's trying every combination, but the one combination that everybody's screaming at him to try. And it's kind of surprising, isn't it? Because up to this point in the Stanley Cup, you know, it was Quenneville who, and I know this isn't necessarily rocket science, but Quenneville who decided to put Seabrook and Keith back together after experimenting with them apart. He has juggled his lines. I mean, it's not as if he's been passive up to this point. But I'm with you. It was almost like the switch went off before the game and during the game. You know, it wasn't 6-1. It wasn't, you know, 5-0. You just kind of expected to see the coach do something.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I know it was only 2-0 in that game. That was obviously the final score. But, and it was the third period he started to do a little bit. But, you know, I'm just thinking this is a Stanley Cup final. You don't want to mess around too much with waiting. And mm-hmm. He was waiting for those guys to come forward. But, you know, in a lot of ways, he's been doing that all playoffs with Jonathan Toews. It's pretty remarkable that this was the guy that won the Conn Smythe Trophy when they won the Stanley Cup 3 years ago, and, you know, still only got one goal at this point in the playoffs. And, you know, I do know he contributes other parts to that team, but, you know, I think clearly they need him going because he logs the most minutes for them up front. And, you know, he is an offensive player. He's a two-way player, but he's one that they need some scoring from. So, you know, I do think the focal point should be on him and what Joel can do to get him anything away from Chara or even give him better line mates and just say we're going to go power against power. But the Blackhawks to me don't seem comfortable yet in this series. And, you know, I haven't been around them enough to know, you know, put my finger on exactly what it is, but there's just something weird there. And mm-hmm. I think you see it manifest itself in some of what I'm talking about, but also, you know, as the guys mentioned yesterday, that bizarrely putting Ben Smith in without, you know, ever telling him until after the warm-up and things of that nature. Something just seems not right. And, you know, if they lose tonight, it's going to be an awfully tough task for them to try to win this series.
Chris Johnson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Chris, a little bit of hockey news away from the finals yesterday. Our Nick Kypreos, of course, reporting that the Los Angeles Kings are actively entertaining offers for Jonathan Bernier. He has listed the Philadelphia Flyers and the Toronto Maple Leafs as teams that would be interested. Why would the Leafs be interested in Jonathan Bernier? Have the Leafs not found their goaltender in James Reimer?
You know, I don't think that they feel that they have.
Okay.
Personally, I think he's done enough to at least be given another shot as the number one. But, you know, my sense is, you know, from the Leafs is that they're certainly open to other options. And, you know, maybe even in this case, it would obviously be a player who's, you know, roughly the same age, roughly the same NHL experience, and they could push one another. That might, you know, that seems to be the thinking there. But, you know, this guy has had a lot of said about him over the years, but he's never really had a prolonged chance to show his stuff with the Los Angeles Kings because, you know, it was clear to that organization fairly early on when they had both him and Jonathan Quick, that Quick sort of had nosed ahead of him and has been getting most of the playing time there. So it's long been thought that Jonathan Bernier's time was going to have to come somewhere else, and that is clearly the case now. And it sounds like the Kings want to get this done quickly, you know, even perhaps before next weekend's draft. So I think it sort of adds an interesting subtext to the general manager's meeting that's happening here in Boston today, because while the sort of official topics on the agenda are stuff everyone's heard about, it's a lot of the extension of what happened to the competition committee with advisors and other rule changes. I think that there's going to be a lot of talk about, you know, obviously the players that are coming available through compliance buyouts here, but also trade talk, because with the salary cap going down, I expect to see a lot of movement here, including Jonathan Bernier. And it's interesting that the Leafs are one of the teams that are actively bidding for services.
Is he worth, what is it, the 11th pick overall?
Cool. I think he is. You know, if you look at what he's accomplished in the time he's played, I think he's shown enough that you would think he's a number one goaltender. And, you know, the 11th pick, if that's what it is and it ends up costing, you're not sure. If we go back and look at the guys that have been taken in that sort of spot, you know, yes, there's the occasional star player, but, you know, really once you get outside the top two or three picks in the NHL, there's usually nothing close to a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even sometimes those guys don't end up being, you know, being everything you'd hope for. So I think the chance to get a goaltender that is, you know, could be your franchise goaltender, if that's the only cost, I do think it's worth taking that risk.
It's funny, you know, talking about the draft, the Denver Post, of course, Chris, reporting that the Colorado Avalanche, at least according to Joe Sakic, are now more likely to take a forward than defenseman Seth Jones. We had a conversation with Neil Smith, and it's not just Neil. Other people have said the same thing. They've pointed out that the history of defensemen being chosen first overall and going on to have long and successful careers isn't all that great. And a lot of people would tell you that if you can get a shot at a franchise forward like a Nathan MacKinnon, you take him over Jones. But are you surprised? I mean, first of all, do you believe this? Or is this some sort of an elaborate smokescreen set up by the Avalanche? And secondly, are you surprised they would do this? Because this is pretty much a local kid that they're turning down.
I'm not surprised because I think that they want a player that will make an immediate impact. And the difficulty in drafting defensemen with those type of picks that they take more time, frankly, than a forward to become an impact player in your lineup, you know, just based on history. You know, the one recent example I can think of that kind of bucked that trend was Drew Doughty, who was taken number two, you know, and pretty quickly became a key member of the LA Kings, obviously played and won an Olympic gold medal at the age of 20, and he was able to jump right in. But if there's any concerns at all about Seth Jones, from the Avalanche perspective, I would think it's going to take a long time before he's the player you want him to be. And Nathan MacKinnon, you know, might be instantly their second or third best forward, you know, the first year. And then, you know, with his top end potential, you know, very quickly after that, you know, be a game changer for them. So I'm not surprised that they would want to, although my spidey senses kind of go off when this report comes out, because, you know, it is fairly unusual for the team that's choosing number one, you know, at least in the years I've been around the NHL, to come out and say who they're taking. Usually they try to hold the suspense, whether it's because maybe they're working on a trade or something of that nature. There's usually more suspense to this. So I wonder what the end game is for the Avalanche. If maybe they're looking to trade that pick potentially, and they're throwing that out there for any team that might want Seth Jones. You know, it's tough to read exactly what Joe Sakic was doing. Maybe he was just being honest. But, you know, I haven't been around Joe Sakic as an executive enough time yet to figure out, you know, exactly what the motivation for that would be. But, you know, to answer your original question, I always thought Nathan MacKinnon was a player whoever drafted first overall almost needed to draft, simply because, you know, he could become a real star in this league, and you'd be kicking yourself if you passed him over.